We're holding on Tess Umwood Bey's four lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about the question. So you have a coda up on your Mavui. Are you allowed to carry under the area of that coda itself? So we said that there were three Amiroim on each side of the question. Rav, Rav Chia, and Rav Yechon are saying that you are. Shmuel, Rav Shimon ben Rebbe, and Rav Shimon ben Lakish are saying that you can't. And we discussed a couple of possible reasons. We discussed a couple of possible reasons why that might be the case. One way of looking at it is that the machloikas is how, what's the mechanism by which the coda works? Is it meant to be a heker, or is it meant to be a mechitza? If it's meant to be a heker, then you can only carry until the beginning of it, because that's where the heker is, because you notice the edge of it in front of you. If it's mishum mechitza, you might be able to carry until the outer edge of it, because the outer edge would be the mechitza, that's yored v'soisim, where you have a virtual wall over there. Another possibility is, we said that they both agree it's mishum mechitza, but the question is it the inner or the outer edge that forms the mechitza? Okay. Then the last thing we said about that was Rav Chista had said that when it comes to Bein L'Chayayim, when we have a coda over there. If we have a lechi there, on the other hand, then you're not allowed to carry next to the lechi at all. And Tosfos discussed a reason for that, because the lechi has no. Oh, good morning, Lily. Because the lechi has no minimum width, and therefore, if you're carrying over there, you're going to end up carrying in Rosh Hashanah Rabin. Anyway. So now continuing on that discussion, Chesam and Bey's four lines from the bottom. Bomine Romi Bachoma Mirav Chista. So Romi Bachoma asked Rav Chista as follows. Let's, talking about the coda, again, we said we have a machlokes, whether you're allowed to carry under the coda or not. Now the normal way of doing things, The normal way of doing things is that you have the coda within the mavui, meaning you have the walls going to the end of the mavui, and then you put the coda on top of those walls so that the full width of the coda, as we learned briefly before, we're going to learn in more detail later in the perek, has to be at least a tefach wide, so that entire tefach usually is within the space of the mavui. It doesn't stick out over the shoset abin. But what happens, not shtei yisedis b'shnei kosle mavui b'machutz, what happens if you didn't do that? What happens if you stuck in two pegs, or supports or whatever onto the outer walls of the mavui that face towards Rosh Hashanah Rabin, v'yiniach koda al gabehen, and then you put the koda on top of that. So now the koda is in front of the mavui, and it's overhanging Rosh Hashanah Rabin rather than overhanging, as it usually would, the last tefach of the mavui. Mahu, what's the din? So what's the din? Is that a valid coda? And what would be the din as far as carrying? Amalei. So Rav Chista answers him. Now again, we had a machlokas whether in a regular case of a coda you're allowed to carry it. You're allowed to carry under it. Here Rav Chista says ledivrei hamater oser ledivrei haoser muter. The ones who in the previous part say that you would be normally allowed to carry under the coda, here they would say it's also to carry under the coda, because they would say, look, I mean, the coda is sticking out over Rosh Hashanah Rabin, so obviously you can't say, so depending, whether we said that there were two possibilities, either they hold the coda functions as a mechitza, or specifically they hold the outer edge of it functions as a mechitza. Here, you can't say the outer edge of it should function as a mechitza, because the outer edge of it is not over the mavui, the outer edge of it is over Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So that opinion that usually says that it would be mutter because the outer one is yored v'soisim, here they would say, you can see the diagram in Rashi, by the way, where you have the mavui and then you have the koda sticking out in front of the mavui rather than over the top of it. So they would say in this case, it would be also to carry, actually not only Rashi says, not only it would be also to carry under that koda, that there's really no chiddush in, of course, because it's over Rosh Hashanah Abim. Nobody would say you could carry it under that koda, but they would say the whole mavui is no good. You have to get another koda, and you have to get the, you have to take the koda and put it where it belongs, over the edges of, over the edges of the mavui, because what you have is like this. What you really have is, it's not a machitza, because you have space between the outer edge of the between the outer edge of the koda and the walls of the mavui. Now, even Rashi says, what about lavud? After all, the koda is only a tefach wide. Rashi learns that lavud only helps when you have an actual wall over there. If you had an actual wall hanging down from the koda, then yeah, if it's within three tefachim of the walls of the mavui, you'd be good. But here you don't have an actual wall. You only have a virtual wall, because p'tikra yerid v'soysim. And you can't do that. You can't apply lavud to such a thing. Therefore, that's why Rashi says, that's why we would say that in that case, that opinion that says that normally you would be allowed to carry under the koda, here the result of this, the koda being in front of the mavui rather than above it, would be that it would actually be complete. It would actually be also to carry in this mavui at all until you fix the koda and put it where it belongs. The Rashba actually gives a different reason why lavud wouldn't work in this case. The Rashba says, because lavud means that you extend the thing out to cover that area. In this case, it would mean you extend the mavui out to that area where the koda is. But if you extend the mavui out, then there's no more koda over there. Then you've covered the area of the koda. You can't very well say that you're going to say lavud and have it be attached to the outside edge of the koda, and at the same time say that the koda is actually there. That doesn't work. Therefore, so that's the reason that Rashba gives. Anyway, so the Divrei HaMatir also, so the opinions that say that usually you would be allowed to carry under the koda, in this case, they say the koda itself would be possible, and you can't, and you need to put the koda in its proper place. L'divrei ha'oseh mutter. Whereas the opinion before, Shmuel and Reb Shimon Berebi and so forth, who said that normally you can't carry under the koda, either again because they say the koda is there as a heker, or because it's the inner edge of it that's yered v'sosim. Good, according to them, mutter. So according to them, you'd be allowed to carry in this mavui with such a koda. Because there you have, the heker is still there, because you come to the actual end of the mavui and you see the koda there in front of you, or because the inner edge of it forms the machitza, and the inner edge of it is next to the wall, is right next to the walls of the mavui. It's not separated out such that you would have to do lavud, and therefore that works. Rava Amar L'divrei HaOser Nami Oser. Rava says, no, even the opinion that says that normally it would be also to carry under the koda, in this case, that opinion would say, those three Amoraim would say that in this case, you're not allowed to carry under, that in this case, the mavui is no good also. So both opinions would agree that in this case, the mavui is no good with a koda in front of it rather than over it, because but in koda agabi mavui v'leka, because the koda has to be on top of the mavui, and it's not. It can't be next to the mavui. So Eisveir of Adaba Masna Rava. So Rav Adaba Masna asks a question on Rava, and really, actually, once we finish with the question, we'll see that really the question is kind of, according to many Rishonim, the question is really on Rav Chista as well. And on the side of it here, it mentions from Tosfos Yishonim that in fact the question, he asked the question to Rava, but the question actually applies to Rav Chista as well. A Braisa says, Hoisa Kodase Meshucha Oitluya. If the koda is meshucha, meshucha usually means horizontally displaced, meaning further out from the walls, which is the case we're talking about over here. Oy tluya, we're going to see soon what meshucha actually means, but for purposes of the question, we assume that meshucha means that it's next to the wall rather than on top of it. Oy tluya, or it's hanging. Or it's hanging between the walls. It's not actually on top of them. So Rashi, the diagram you can see in Rashi over here is, let's say, the koda you have isn't long enough. It's not long enough to go from one wall to the other. So what do? You put in the first diagram in Rashi. You take that diagram is as if you're looking at the front of the mavui. What they do in order to put up a short koda like that, they put a tall pole stuck into the ground in the front of the mavui, and then on top of that pole they balance the koda on top of that pole. Like a needle, sort of. I mean, I guess, you know, in real life, they would probably nail it on, or they'd, you know, drill a hole in the koda and put the stick through it. Whatever. The point is, that's tluya. So the Braisa says, pochus migimel, if the distance between the koda and the walls of the mavui is less than three tefachim, ein sorich lahavi koda acheres, you don't need to get another koda, because lavud. Gimel tzarech lavi koda acheres. But if there's a distance of three tefachim or more, then you need to get another koda because then you don't have lavud anymore. Okay, so meshucha oy tloya we're talking about. Right now we're assuming that meshucha means that it's distant from the walls. In other words, that you have no. In other words, further out. In other words, like the case we were just talking about, where you have the wall of the mavri is here, and then instead of the koda being on top of the walls over here, it's in front of the walls. You have, for example, as we said, you put pegs or you put nails or whatever into the wall, and the koda is sitting on top of that. So the Braisa sounds like it's saying that if it's within three tefachim of the front walls in the Mavri, then you're good. We're going to see soon that Meshucha actually means something else. But right now, that's for purposes of the question, that's what we're assuming. As far as Tloya, yeah, it means like the scenario that Rashi's describing over here, where it doesn't reach from one end to the other, and therefore you have it standing on top of a pole that you stuck into the ground. So if the distance, so it sounds like either side, it sounds like either way, if we're talking about it being in front of the Mavri, then it's okay if it's within three tefachim of the front walls of the Mavri. And if it's hanging in the middle over there, then it's good, as long as the ends of it are within three tefachim of the end of the ends of the Mavri. Yeah. So then in that, and the Braisa continues, Rab Shimon Gamliel Lomer, Pochas mi Dalad ein Sarach Lohavi Korda Acheres, Dalad Sarach Lohavi Korda Acheres, Rab Shimon Gamliel says, that the maximum space you have is not three tefachim, but four. He holds that lavud applies up to four tefachim, instead of everybody else holds it applies only up to three. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, my lav, meshucha mibachutz or tloya mibifnim. Now, when the Braisa mentions two cases, meshucha and tloya, on the face of it, meshucha means the case that we were asking about, the case Rami Bachama is talking about, where the koda is not on top of the walls of the mavoi, but in front of them. And we're saying that if it's within three tefachim of the front of the mavri, then you're good. And tloya would mean that. And tloya would mean that's not reaching to the ends. Tloya would mean it's inside the mavri where it normally is, but it's not long enough to reach from end to end. So therefore, we have it on top of a pole, like we said. Well, that's what we're asking. That's what we're asking. Rav Chista had said that. Whether this mavri is going to be kosher with such a koda or not will depend on the opinions of what purpose the koda is serving. Is it that it's serving as a heker, or is it that it's serving as a mechitza? Or another way of looking at it, does the inner edge of it serve as a mechitza or the outer edge? So if we say that way, so if we look at it that way, then whether the koda is going to be kosher or not, whether the mavri you're going to be able to carry it or not, will depend on those two opinions. Rava is saying that it doesn't matter. Either way, the koda is no good, and the mavri you can't carry in. So now the question is, Rava Adar Bar Ava is asking, so the question is primarily on Rava, because Rava is saying there's no way that this mavri is kosher with the koda outside of it, whereas the Braisa seems to be implying that's kosher if it's within three tefachim of the outside of the mavri. Many of the Mefarshim explain, though, that actually the question is to a certain extent on Rav Chista as well. The fact is, according to the opinions, according to the three opinions who say that Rav Chista had said, the Divrei HaMatir Oyser, so how would they explain this Braisa? What would they say? Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, what would they say to this Braisa, why it's allowing you to carry when it's within three tefachim of the Mavoi, when they would say, according to Rav Chista, that it's Oyser? So the question is on Rav Chista as well. So the answer is loy. No, that's not what the word meshucha means. Aidiv aidi mimifnim. Both meshucha and tloya mean that the mavri is in its normal, that the koda is in its normal place on the inside of the mavri, not that it's sticking out in front of the mavri. But what the terms mean, meshucha miruachachas or tloya mishteiruchas. The word meshucha means that one end of it is far away from the nearby wall. And tloya means that both ends are. So in other words, both of them we're talking about the koda is not, so neither of them we're talking about that the koda is sitting on pegs that are sticking out of the wall or in front of the mavri. We're talking about that in both cases, the koda is not long enough to reach from one wall to another, but meshucha means that you have it close to one side and far away from the other. So let's say the mavri is, let's say, 5 amas wide, and you happen to have a piece of wood that's 4 amas and 4 tefachim long. So you put it over there, you put it so that one end of it is next to the wall and the other end is 2 tefachim away from the other wall, and you hold it up, maybe you hold it up with a stick from underneath, maybe you hold it up with a peg that comes out from the wall from the other wall, whatever it is, and now the peg itself is not gonna count as part of the koda because it's not wide enough. It's less than a tefach wide. But meshucha would mean that it's okay as long as you have less than three tefachim over there. And tsluya would mean the same kind of thing, but it's suspended from both sides. It's not touching on either side. So what's the chiddush? Ma'ur detema meruach achas amrinan lavur mishtei ruchas le'amrinan lavur. If the braisa hadn't told us meshucha or tsluya, you would think maybe you can only say lavur on one side at a time. Maybe you can't say it on both of them. Kamash malan, and therefore the braisa wants to tell us that you can do even that. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, so in that case, why didn't it just tell us the case of Teluya and not the case of Meshucha? He says, because if it told us the case of Teluya, you would mistakenly think that when it's Meshucha, when it's next to one end and then far away from the other, maybe it's good even if it's more than three Tvachim, or four Tvachim, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So we still need to know that you still need Lavon in that case. It still needs to be within three or four Tvachim of the other wall. But we also need to know, on the other hand, that even when it's on two sides, we still can apply Lavon. Okay. Rav Ashi, now Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Rav Ashi doesn't like that answer because there's really no chiddush. Once we say lavod, then again, there's no reason to think that lavod shouldn't apply on both sides at the same time, the same as it applies on one side. So Rav Ashi rather learns, meshucha v'hi tluya. The word meshucha oy tluya, it doesn't actually mean it's two separate cases. It means it's one thing. It means, in other words, it's meshucha, and even if it's meshucha, we have the word oy, which means or, but it means even whether it's only meshucha, or even if it is meshucha and tluya. In other words, tluya doesn't go by itself. Tluya means it's also meshucha. So what does that mean? So one second. The Heichi Dami, what's the scenario? Rav Ashi says, suppose that you put up two bent pegs on the two walls of the Mavui. So this is the second diagram that Rashi has over there as Mavui de Rav Ashi. So you have, now you're again looking from the front of the Mavui. You have the two walls standing up on the sides. On each side, you have a diagonal. Not the coda itself. The coda is the horizontal line in the middle. On each side, you have a diagonal nail or peg or whatever it is that she'ein begovon gimel ve'ein ba'akmo misan gimel. Neither one of these pegs is three tefachim tall. The bent part of it, meaning where it goes like this, it's on an angle. Well, Rashi has it diagrammed over here as an angle. You actually have Rishonim who learn that it's not really on an angle, but rather it's more, well, they learn that rather than being on a diagonal, rather they learn that they're angled. You have, they go up a little bit and then they go out a little bit. Partially, so they go up a little bit and then they go in a little bit, and then you have the coda sitting on top of that. Whereas the diagram we have in Rashi is that they're diagonal, and then you have the coda sitting on top of them. Anyway, the she'en begovan gimel, the height of them is not three tefachim. The en ba'akmo misan gimel, and the amount that they stick out into the mavui is also less than three tefachim. And now the coda is sitting on top of that. Now, so in order to make this coda kosher, you need two things. You need lavud. You also need something called chavut rami, which means that in certain cases in halacha, we say that something that's higher up, we consider it as if it was further down. Like this, remember the coda is not directly on top of the walls of the mavui. It's on these pegs that's sticking up a couple of tefachim above the mavui. If it weren't for chavut rami, we would say it's no good. But chavut rami allows us to say that it's good. But the point, if we only said chavut, it still wouldn't be within three tefachim. It still wouldn't be next to the walls because we'd still have the less than three tefachim space. Because remember, chavut rami, we're lowering it. So now it's sitting between the walls, but it's only between the walls. It's not touching them because you needed pegs that go up and that go in. We don't care whether the peg is part of the wall. We would care whether the peg is part of the coda, and it can't be because it's not wide enough. The coda has to be one tefach wide, as we're going to learn later in the parak. So that's the chiddush. So ma'od tema oy lavod amrinan oy chavot amrinan. Maybe we only say one or the other of these. Maybe we only say lavod to put it within three tefachim horizontally of the walls, or chavot to say that we consider it as though vertically it was lowered from being higher up to being lower down. Within three tefachim, of course, but lavud v'chavut lo yamrinan. Maybe we can't apply both of those rules together. Kamash malan, and therefore the braisa wants to tell us that even in that case, it would work. So we do consider in this diagram in Rashi, what we're doing over here is we're applying first chavut to say that the koda is not is not above the mavoi, but rather directly on the walls. Rather directly on the walls, but it's still not long enough to actually reach the walls. So then we apply lavud as if it was extended out and actually goes until the walls. Tosfos does point out, really, in fact, the rule of chavut in and of itself should allow us to do this even if it's higher than three trachim. The reason why here that not is because ultimately one purpose of the koda is a heker. If you have it too far up above the walls of the mavoi, it doesn't serve as a heker anymore because they're not going to notice it as much. Even so, less than 20 is when you have the walls of the mavoi themselves are less than 20 amos tall, and you have the koda on top of it, it's still a heker. But if you have that the walls of the mavoi only go up to a certain point, and then you have above that you have pegs or whatever, and then you have the koda is high above that, then no, it's not really going to be so much of a heker. The eye is not going to notice it as much. No. So here we're talking about, here in the end, we're saying, forget about where it's outside. It is inside the mavoi. That's the point the Gemara is making. If it was outside the mavoi, then again, Rav Chista would say that some opinions would say it's no good. Rava would say all opinions say it's no good. Here we're talking about it is within the mavoi. It's just not long enough to reach from one wall to the other of the mavoi. And in Ravashi's scenario, it's also placed a few tfachim higher up because you have, again, instead of putting it directly, it was too short to reach from one end of the mavoi to the other. And so instead, they put these diagonal pegs or these bent pegs, according to other Rishonim, and then put the koda on top of that. Yeah. Okay.
If it was higher than 20
it's higher than 20, then it's for sure no good. Yeah, nothing to talk about.
There's nothing to talk about. So why are we so worried about?
Because this is within 20 amos. This is all within 20 amos we're talking about.
But it's lavud. One second. Lavud is above 20 amos or below 20 amos?
Lavud applies wherever we need it to. But if it's above 20 amos, then lavud's not going to help us anyway because you still don't have a heker or a mechitza or whatever as we discussed a few days ago. But the point is that here we're saying that even though that we're all talking within 20 amos, but even though the koda doesn't reach from one wall to the other, and again, in Rav Ashi's scenario, even though it doesn't reach from one wall to the other, and it's higher than the mavoi, it's within three, it's a little bit higher than the walls of the mavoi, it's not sitting directly on the walls or between the walls as it usually would, nevertheless, it can work as long as all the distances involved are less than three tefachim. And in fact, one point is that some of the Rishonim make is even though now when you get down to it, the diagonal could well be more than three tefachim, right? If you have, you know, again, in this scenario over here, where you have diagonal pegs or bent pegs or whatever, and the mavoi is sitting on top of them, each dimension of it, the vertical height is less than three, the horizontal distance is less than three, the diagonal may well be more than three tefachim, and still it's okay because we look at the vertical and the horizontal separately. Mm-hmm. So that's the point, therefore, so it does work. In this case, that's what we're saying. You need chavut and you need lavud in order to make it work. In Ravashi's case, you need first to be able to say chavut, that we consider as though this koda was not above the mavoi, but rather directly on top of it. And then we also need lavud in order to extend it out, that it actually reaches the walls of the mavoi.
In this case, why do we
You know, if you just put pegs that stick out like this, you're right. You wouldn't need anything else. You could have put in pegs like this and put the koda on top. Then you don't need chavod at all. But you need the koda because you need a koda in order to. You need either a lechi or a koda. Those pegs that are sticking out of the walls don't know. A lechi is a vertical pole that stands on the ground or within three tefachim of the ground or whatever, as we're going to discuss later in the parak, and stands in front of the mavoi. Here you. No, what's there to be considered? No. First of all, the pegs aren't necessarily that close together. That still doesn't help. The pegs themselves would be the only thing they would work as a coda, and the coda has to be a tefach wide. The pegs aren't a tefach wide, so yeah. Okay. All right. Getting back to the matter of, are you allowed to carry under the kurta, or are you allowed to carry next to the lechi? So again, we said before that when it comes to carrying under the kurta, we had a machloikus between Rav, Rabbi Yechanan, and between Rav, Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Chiya on one side, Rav, Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Yechanan on one side, Shmuel, and Rabbi Shimon Berebi, and Rabbi Shimon Lakish on the other side, whether you're allowed to carry under the kurta. In the regular case, we're talking about where the kurta is inside the mavri, and again, based on what we established, so, well, a kurta by definition has to be a tefach, has to be a tefach wide. The point is, the question is, would you be allowed to carry something under that kurta? Would you be allowed to? Yeah. So we had that. And again, this is all talking about when the kurta is inside the mavri, because based on what we just said in the Gemara over here, if the kurta is outside the mavri, then as Rava is saying, it's no good anyway. Then we had the question, what about carrying next to the lechi? And that we said, Rav Chista had said that everybody would agree that would be osur. So now we're going to revisit that point. Tony Rab Zakai Kamed Rab Yechanan. Rab Zakai taught a braise in front of Rab Yechanan. Bein lechayayim b'tachas akora nidin k'karmelis. The area next to the lechi and the area under the kora is considered like a karmelis, and therefore you would not be allowed to carry there. Amalei, so Rab Yechanan tells him, poik Tony Levora, go out and teach this braise outside this besmedrash, outside the besmedrash. In other words, this braise cannot possibly be correct. There's obviously a mistake in it. And therefore, so it doesn't belong in the Bais Medrash. We only want in the Bais Medrash braises that are accurate, because you should be allowed to. In fact, we said before, Rabbi Yechanan was one of the three who said you are allowed to carry under the kora. Amar Abaya, so Abaya says it depends. Mistabra milse did Rabbi Yechanan tachas akora. It makes sense to say that Rabbi Yechanan is talking about under the kora, that it should be allowed to carry under the kora. Because again, we can say the outer edge of the kora is yored v'sosim. We can say it's the outer edge that faces towards Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that's considered to create the fourth wall of the mavri over there. And therefore, you should be allowed to carry under the kora itself. Aval, bein l'chayayin also, but next to the lechi should be also. The next to the lechi, like we said before, like Rav Chista had said, should be osur. Either because we can say, whether it's because, like Tosfos had said, because the lechi has no minimum width, and therefore there's a real concern that if you carry next to it, you're going to end up carrying into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Or maybe because even if the kurta is mishum mechitza, the lechi conceivably could be mishum heker. And therefore, therefore, you should be also to carry, when we said before, like the logic with the kurta, if it's mishum heker, you're only allowed to carry until the beginning of it, not until the end of it. Because that's where the hecker is. So that's what Abaya says. Rava says, no, next to the lachi, it's also mutter to carry. So Rava says, where do I get this from? What makes me say that you are allowed to carry next to the lachi? Because when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rav Yechanan a din like this. Makam she'en bo dalad al dalad. An area that is less than 4x4. Now, in other words, if it's less than 4x4, then it's a makom patur, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos. So a place that is less than 4x4, and it's between Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, mutter livnei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim v'livnei Rosh Hashanah Yachid l'katif olav, both people in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and people in Rosh Hashanah Yachid are allowed to adjust their burdens on it, because again, that would amount to you're taking from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Makom Patur, or from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Makom Patur, and you're allowed to do that. Now, what they can't do is transfer things from one to the other. You can't have the person from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is going to take something, put it on the Makom Patur, and then a person from Rosh Hashanah Yachid is going to take that and bring it into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So that it wouldn't be also on a Daraisa level. It wouldn't be also on a Daraisa level, but it would be also on a Darabanan level, because they might end up directly carrying from one Rishos to the other. Well, no, that's not all Mishnah. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Shabbos is a little bit different. The Mishnah in Shabbos is there's not necessarily a Makom Patur or a Karmelis in between. In fact, we discussed in the Gemara in Shabbos over there in the first parak. And in fact, we did bring this in that connection also. If there's a Karmelis, so we actually said it depends. If you're just walking through, if you're walking from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and walking through Karmelis or Makom Patur, then in fact, yes, you're going to be chayav. But here we're talking about the thing was actually put down in Makom Patur or in Karmelis and then picked up again. So that's only also midrabanan. Two people and there's the first mission in Shabbos. That's another matter that they're the Shnaim Shasur. If one does the Akira, one does the Hanocha. But we're not even getting into that right now. We're talking about here, one person picks it up from Rosh Hashanah Abim and puts it down on the Makom Tur. So he did an Akira Bahanocha, and the other guy takes it from there and puts it in Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So Midrabanan, so each one did a complete Akira Bahanocha, but one did the Hanocha in Makom Tur, one did the Akira from Makom Tur. So it's also on Midrabanan level, but it's also Midrabanan because we don't want people, because then you're going to end up just carrying directly from one to the other and be, yeah. Anyway, so the point is, Rava says, so the same thing, the area, so what do you see? When you have an area that's not significant enough to be a makom choshuv of its own, then we're saying that you're allowed to use it together with the rishos next to it. Well, by the same logic over here, the area next to the lechi is not significant enough in itself, especially since, like Tosfos had said, the lechi doesn't even have a minimum width. So therefore, the logic is you should be allowed to use it together with the rishos yachid next to it, namely the mavoi. So you should be allowed to carry it. Yeah, so you should be allowed to carry it. V'abaya, so what does Abaya answer to that? Hasam b'gavoya gimel. Abaya says, yeah, but that case is talking about that area that's less than dalad al-dalad is also at least 3 tefachim tall. So therefore, it's noticeable. The area next to the lechi is b'chlal not noticeable as something distinct. And therefore, if you're allowed to carry there, you're going to end up carrying into Rosh Hashanah Abim. When you have the area, when you have this area, this makom tur, which is at least 3 tefachim tall, then it's visibly distinct from Rosh Hashanah Yochid and from Rosh Hashanah Abim. So then fine, you can carry it. Then fine, you can bring something from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to there and vice versa. Okay. Amar Abaya Menamina. So Abaya says, where do I get my opinion from that you shouldn't be allowed to carry next to the lechi? So like this, the Omer of Chama Baguya Omer Rab, Toicha Pesach Tzarech Lechi Achal HaTiroi. The area within the doorway of the Mavoi itself requires another Lechi to be matir. Meaning, in other words, like this, if let's say, you can have a Mavoi where the open end towards Rosh Hashanah Abim is completely open, but you don't necessarily have to. And in fact, many times in those days, they had their Mavois were not like that. Often they would have, the Mavoi is built in such a way that in the front wall of it that faces towards Rosh Hashanah Abim, the walls come in a little bit. So yeah, the walls come in a little bit, and then maybe you might even put up doors over there. In some places they would, but whatever. The point is that those things that go in themselves count as a lechi. But if that area itself, if you want to be able to carry within that area itself between those places where the walls come in, then you need a lechi over there in order to be able to carry there. You have the mavoi is closed in on 3 sides. The 4th side we're saying is partially closed. Also, you have these patsimin. You have these parts of wall that come in from the 2 sides and then close. So those, each of those counts as a lechi. But if you want to carry between them themselves, then you need a separate lechi over there. Yeah. So if you want to, carry exactly in that area. So you have, here's the end of the mavoi over here. You want to be able to carry. So you have, let's say, imagine that the walls, let's say, are a little bit thick. You have, imagine the walls are a couple of tefachim thick or whatever. So you have a space over there from the beginning of the wall till the end of the wall where you'd want to be able to carry as well. If you want to do that, you have to put up a lechi by the end over there. A koda would be no problem, but yeah. A koda would be the machlokas, whether you're allowed to carry under the koda or not. But a lechi, we're saying, if the koda is at least a tefach wide, fine. And we're saying there's a machlokas between Rabban and Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel and so forth, whether you're allowed to carry under the koda or not. But in the case of a lechi, we're saying the front walls over there do count as a lechi. You don't need to put up another lechi in order to carry in the rest of the mavoi. But if you want to carry specifically there in the doorway, then you need another, in the width of the doorway, then you're going to need another lechi. So you see that you can't carry next to the lechi. Otherwise, why can't you just carry in the doorway without that? The chitema de ispe dalad al dalad. So you're going to answer that in that case, maybe we're talking about that the doorway itself is at least 4x4. So therefore, we could say that doorway now is considered a kaimelis. No, va'omer of chanan barava omer rab, teucha pesach, af bisha ein be dalad al dalad, sarach lechi achalatir. No, even if the width of that, even if the thickness of that doorway, of that entrance to the mavoi, is less than 4 tefachim, so in other words, the walls on the sides are less than 4 tefachim thick, so the area is less than 4x4, you still need another lechi if you want to carry in that small area itself. So we see, therefore, says Abaya, that you can't carry next to the lechi, and that's why you need another lechi if you want to carry in that area. So, Tosfos points out, by the way, we shouldn't think that the reason might be because that doorway itself counts as a separate mavoi. It actually wouldn't, because we learned before, mavoi has to have a minimum length, four tfachim or four amos. We had a machloikas, Rabbi Yosef, and Abaya. It has to have houses and chatzeros opening into it. None of this doorway has none of that. So it's not that it's a separate mavoi. It's not that it needs a lechi because it's a separate mavoi. It just needs a lechi, says Abaya, because you see, you can't carry next to the lechi. And therefore, you need another one. Well, yeah, very Rava. So what would Rava answer to that? He would say, Hosam to Pasuach Lakamalis. You know when you're talking, you know when Rav Chama Bar Guria's din applies would be if the Mavui is opening out to a Karmelis. Then we're saying you can't carry in the area of the doorway over there. But if it's facing towards the Rosh Hashanah, then you would be allowed to, then those pieces of wall on the sides count as a lechi, and you're actually allowed to carry next to them. So that's the question. What's the logic? So what are you telling me, Rob? If it faces towards the Rosh Hashanah, you're going to be allowed to carry in the doorway without another mavri? What's the logic? Yetziva ba'ad of a yod b'shmesh maya. Is the native born person on the ground and the ger up in the highest heights? It's an expression the Gemara uses in a few places. Like, it seems backwards. If you're facing towards Rosh Hashanah, you should be more machmir than if it's facing towards Karmelis. We're carrying, and a Karmelis itself is only also drabanan. The expression is actually taken. It's actually a variant on an expression that you have in Targum on the Teuchecha in Parshas Kisavoy. You have an expression over there in the Teuchecha: Hagera shebekirbecha yala lacha mala mala va'atateret mata mata. The goyim, the geri toshev or whatever, who are ruling over you, will go higher and higher, and you'll go lower and lower. So from that, the Gemara got the expression over here, like you have. How is it? What's the logic that the ger, the guy who doesn't belong over here to begin with, should be higher and you're going to be lower? So why should we be more machmir if the mavri is facing towards Karmelis than towards Rosh Hashanah? And the answer is ain. As a matter of fact, yes. Motza min es minoi v'nir. As a matter of fact, yes. One min finds the other one and it wakes up. In other words, what you have is, in effect, the area next to the lechi is considered, the area inside the doorway over there is considered a Karmelis. Because it's less than 4x4, or it's 4x4, as the case may be. The area in the doorway over there, again, between the opening of the mavri. So the area over there is considered a karmelis. Outside it, you also have a karmelis. So now what happens is, it's like you have in Hilchos Tarovis, you have a concept, for example, you have, let's say, if a little bit of milk falls into a pot of meat, then it's batel b'shishim, and later on more milk falls in, then it's near, then it wakes up. And then it wakes up, and now it affects it. You have that in Hilchos Chometz, and in a number of different areas in Halacha. So here, Rava is applying it over here. It's not a matter of Tarovis, but it's still the same thing. In other words, the karmelis next to it causes it to wake up, causes it to strengthen. Another possible meaning of near means like it stirs. Well, it can mean that it mixes. It can also mean like it stirs, and it stirs and like it becomes strong again. Anyway, whatever the point is, that So therefore it's mitzaref. Rabbeinu Yohanesen on the Rif learns slightly differently. He says the vort is, if you're allowed to carry in that area without another lechi, then you're going to think, you know what, a karmelis anyway is only also to carry in drabanan. So you're going to get careless. You're going to think that if I'm allowed to carry here, then I'm also allowed to carry in the regular karmelis outside. As opposed to if it's a Rosh Hashanah out there, then it's something Rosh Hashanah is also daraisa, so you're not going to make a mistake like that. According to Rashi, it's a matter of combining the two of them. Okay. So Rava would say that we are actually talking about where it's facing toward where it's facing towards Karmelis. But if it's facing towards Rosh Hashanah, then Rava would say you actually are allowed to carry next to the lechi over there, which is what Rava was saying before. Now, one way of looking at it is that Rava would agree that if the area next to the lechi is 4x4, where there it's large enough to be considered a Karmelis, then it would be usur. In other words, Rava would agree that Rava is saying this concept of matzah minas minei v'nir. So he might agree So he might agree that, like this, if the area is, when do we say that, when would Rava say you're allowed to carry in that doorway only if there are two conditions? Number one, the area outside it is Rishus Rabim. And number two, the area itself is less than 4x4. But if it's 4x4, then you have a Karmelis there, and then it's also to carry in there anyway. No, because we're saying this is within the doorway over here. So you have a lech. It means, in other words, you have four, the distance from the front of the mavoi until the inside of this doorway, the walls are four or more tfa, or the walls are four or more tfachim thick. So therefore, the area within the doorway itself is more than 4x4. It's 4x4 or larger. So that would be large enough. That would be large enough to be considered to be considered a reshus of its own. So if it's less than 4x4, then it's a makom ptur. So now forget the koda. We're not talking about a koda over here. We're talking about a lechi. We're talking about a lechi. Again, a lechi is a vertical pole. Here we're talking about you didn't put up another lechi yet. You have the walls of the mavoi itself come in the front and on both sides. Now, within that area, between those, are you allowed to carry? So Tosfos learns that Rava would say you're allowed to carry in there only if two conditions are satisfied, if you don't put up another lechi. Number one, that it's facing towards Rosh Hashanah. And number two, that the area itself is less than four tfachim, is less than 4x4 tfachim. So the width of the doorway from one pitzim to the other is wider than four, but the depth from the front of the wall of the mavoi until the back of that same wall, the thickness of the walls, in other words, is less than four tefachim. But if it was four, then Rava would agree it's also to carry over there from within the mavoi, because it would be a kaimelis. Yeah, now that not so much matzah minas mina, because there it's a rishus rabim, but you still have a kaimelis next to rishus rabim, and that would also be also to carry in from rishus yachid.
Less than four tefachim or four amos?
Four tefachim. Four tefachim is what you need for rishus. With that said, though, not everybody agrees with that. First of all, in the sugya over here, you have the rif paskins like Rava, and because after all, usually the halacha is like Rava over Abaya, and says that it doesn't, and apparently, according to the rif, it doesn't matter whether it's four tefachim or not. So the Ramban explains that the rif would say that Rava is saying, I myself would say there's no difference, but even you, Abaya, should have to agree that if it's less than four tefachim wide, there shouldn't be a problem, whereas Abaya doesn't make that distinction. He says either way, it would be also as long as not three tefachim off the ground. On the other hand, the Baal Amor there on the Rif says Bechlal, he says the Rif doesn't know what he's talking about. In this case, the halacha should be like Abaya, because we're going to have in a few days, Bez Hashem, we're going to have on Daf Tesvav a machlokus about Abaya and Rava involving a lechi. We're there, that's one of the six cases of Yaukagam, that the halacha is like Abaya. The Baal Amor says the machlokus over here depends on the machlokus over there. Therefore, over here, the halacha should be like Abaya, that you're also to carry next to the lechi regardless. So you have three different opinions. You have the Baal Amor says you can't carry next to the lechi regardless. You have Tosfos is saying that even if the halacha is like Rava, you still can't carry next to it if you still can't carry next to the lechi if that area is four tefachim wide or wider. And then you have the Rif who says that you're allowed to regardless. Yeah. That's not the point. The point is not some fine. It may be it. First of all, if it's a hecker, if it's a hecker, you're only allowed to carry until the beginning of it. Only at the beginning of it, when you're inside the mavoi, you see the lechi in front of you. That's the hecker. Not that you carry next to the lechi all the way to the end of it. The thickness is not going to help. So again, according to Abaya, it's not going to help at all. According to Rava, it depends whether you learn like Tosfos or like the Rif, whether it's going to help if it's less, whether it's going to help only if it's less than four wide or even if it's four wide. Okay. No, for it to be as a kosher lechi to make the rest of the mavoi mutar to carry, and it doesn't matter how wide it is. But here we're talking about carrying next to the lechi itself. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Amalei Rav Huna Breder Rav Yeshua L'Rava. So Rav Huna Breder Rav Yeshua said to Rava, Va'at lo tisbara d'mein l'chayayin osur. How could it be you don't agree that next to the lechi it should be also to carry? Va'amar Rava b'machana amar Rav Yechanan. Mavoi sheritzfoi b'lechayayin. If you have, you place on the side of the mavoi over there, you put one lechi next to the other. You have the diagram here in the Gemara. So you have, you're looking now at a bird's eye view of the Mavri. So you put one lechi by the edge of the Mavri, as usual, and another one a little further in, and another one a little further in than that, and so forth. You have a bunch of lechis standing next to each other and then next to the wall of the Mavri. Bird's eye means you're looking from the top. Yeah, you're looking, it's as if you're looking from the top of the Mavri over here. Nothing, you'd put out a bunch of them. So let's say you did that. Pachas midalad, and they're within four tefachim of each other. Bonner the machlokas of Shimon Gamliel over Rabbanon. Now we come to the machlokas of Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon that we said at the top of the Amud, where Reb Shimon Gamliel says that four tefachim is lavud, and the Chum say three. What happens is like this: Lir Reb Shimon Gamliel do Amar Amrinin lavud. Reb Shimon Gamliel, who says that we do say lavud up to four tefachim, so according to him, all these lechayim are effectively one big lechi. And if it's one big lechi, mishtamash ad chodei apnimi shal lechi apnimi, you can only carry in the mavri until the inner edge of the inner lechi. So in this diagram over here, you only have a very small amount of the mavri that you can carry in. Because again, if we say that lechi mishum heker, then the heker is only at the beginning of the lechi, not at the end of it. And Reb Shimon Gamliel would consider lavud. He would say that all of these lechayim count are in effect one big lechi that runs along the side of the mavri. Yes, the bottom is the opening of the mavri. You have a lechi next to it. Because it's not. Because you have another one next to it and another one next to it and so forth. And according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, it's lavud. All of them are considered like one big lechi. So now you have, in effect, one big lechi that runs from the middle of the mavri until the end. And if we're saying that that's the thing. So you're not allowed to carry next to the lechi itself, right? That's the question. That's why Rav Huna Bar Rav Shua is asking on Rava. Excuse me. The Rabbanon, the Amri, Loya, Amrin, and Lavod, according to the Rabbanon, that they say, you don't say Lavod, Mishtamash at Chodei Apnimisho Chitzain. Then you can carry until the inner edge of the outermost one, because according to the Rabbanon, they're not considered Lavod, so therefore, only the outer one is functioning as a lechi, and therefore you can carry until the beginning of it, implying Avo Bein Lachayayin to Kol Alma Osir. So it seems to be if you're to carry next to the lechi, everybody would agree it's Osir. The only difference is, do we count all of them as one big lechi, or do we count only the outer one as a lechi? But either way, it sounds like you can't carry next to the lechi. So what are you telling me, Rava, that you can? Until the inner edge of the outer one, the one closest to Rosh Hashanah. That's the point, because they hold not lavud. Yeah. So again, the answer is v'rava. So what would Rava answer to that? He would say hasam nami de pasuach l'kaimelus. Again, we're talking about over there where it's open to kaimelus. Again, the question is like before avol Rosh
Hashanah. What was the question?
The question was. That the Braisa had said, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say that not the Braisa, Rabbi Yochanan had said that if you have all these lechayim one next to the other, and they're all within, each one is within four tefachim of the previous one, then according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's considered one big lechi, and you can only carry in the mavri up to the beginning of the innermost one. According to the Rabbanon, fine, they're not lavud, so you can carry all the way until the beginning of the outermost one. But both of them agree, you can't carry next to the lechi, and you, Rava, are saying you could carry next to the lechi. So the answer is Rava Hasam Nami to Pasuach LaKaimelus. Again, Rava is going to say that case also is talking about, like we said before, it's open to Kaimelus. Again, the question is Avalo Shosarabim Mai. So what do you mean? Does that imply that if it opens to Shosarabim, you're going to be allowed to carry next to the Lachi? It should be allowed. What's the logic? Yet Siva Ba'ad of a Gyer to Bishmesh Maya. Should the native born be on the ground and the Gyer be up in the highest heights? Why are we more Machme if it's next to Kaimelus than next to Shosarabim? And again, the answer is, like we said before, Ein Motzim Minas Min Evinir. Again, because they combine together, and now it wakes up, or as Rabbeinu Yohanan says, because if you carry in one, you're going to get careless and carry in the other, because you're going to think Kaimelus is anyway only also Drabbanan. Okay. Rav Ashi says, actually, we don't need to say that we're talking about the question of whether it's next to Rosh Hasharabim or next to Kaimelus. We can say the case that we're talking about over here with these lechayim, one next to the other, kigoin sheritzfei b'lechayim pochus pochus me'aba b'meshach arba amos. The case over here is that not only these lechayim are one within four tefachim of the other, but the case is that actually you did this for a length of at least four amos along the length of the mavri. So in other words, remember, four amas is 24 tefachim. So what you did is you put up, let's say, one lechi. Within four tefachim, you put up another one. Within four tefachim, another one, and so forth, until you did the six or seven times, and now you have a length of four amas or more that this series of lechayim extends into the mavui. So now the question is, does it count as a separate mavui? So the Rav Shimon Gamliel, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that we say lavud up to four tefachim, havale mavui. Now you have, in effect, what you've created over here is another mavui. What you have, in effect, go back to the diagram on Amud Aleph, and you have that the area where the lechayim are is long enough to count as a mavui of its own. Inside of that, you have another mavui. So that other mavui is going to need its own lechi or its own kerda. Meanwhile, what you've created over here is another mavui, and therefore, it's not a question of whether you can carry next to the chayayim. The point is, Rashi says actually, okay, so the inner mavui, fine, they visibly see a lechi over there, therefore it's allowed, but the outer mavui, in effect, if we consider lavud between all of these, then what you have is, you have one long lechi that runs the whole length of the mavui, and that's no good. It needs to be visible to the people inside the mavui as a lechi, and here it's not. So therefore, you would need another lechi on the outside in order to be able to carry on that outer four amas of the mavui. A mavui doesn't have a minimum what? A mavui has to have a minimum of three walls, but what we have over here is the outer mavui, if we consider it a mavui mefulash, you might need a tzuras pesach between it and the other part of the mavui also. But in any case, the point is the outer mavui is going to need a lechi of its own. Rashi says that's the explanation that he heard from his Rebbeim. Then Rashi says that actually what would happen in this case is neither part of the Mavri would be good to carry in. The inner part, the Lechayayim that we have over here, if we say that all these Lechayayim are considered like one big Lechi and it's four Amos long, then for the inner part it wouldn't work. The Lechi can't be that wide. It doesn't look like a Lechi anymore. For the outer part, it doesn't have a Lechi of its own. So therefore, neither part is going to be good. That's according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. L'Rabbanan da'amri lo yamrin lavud, only according to the Rabbanan, who say, because we don't say lavud more than three tefachim, so okay, it's a bunch of separate lechayayim, so therefore, so lo tzarech lechayachal atiris, you're not going to need another lechi. So Rav Ashi is saying that before we were asking, the question of Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua brought up is that we're saying that once you have a series of lechayayim over there, you can't carry next to it, seems to show you can't carry next to the lechi. And that would require Rava to say that it depends whether it's opening to Rosh Hashanah or Karmelis. Rav Ashi is saying, we're talking about they're not just within four tefachim, but they extend, the series of lechayayim extends to a distance of at least four amas. And now you have that other consideration of whether it counts as a separate mavui or not. Okay. The question is, all of Shimon Gamliel, okay, but if we understand according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, fine. So we're going to say that all of those lechayayim count as one long mavui. And we're going to say that four amos is long enough to be a mavui of its own. But why is that a problem? Shouldn't it be like the kind of case where the lechi is visible from the outside but not really visible from the inside? Meaning, in other words, now Rashi explains like this. Usually when you place your lechi by your mavui, you don't usually put it exactly next to the wall of the, you don't usually put it exactly flush with the outer wall of the mavui. You usually have it stick out a tiny bit into Rosh Hashanah. And the purpose of that is, since one purpose of the lechi is Mishum Heker, you want to have that the people inside the mavui and the people outside of the mavui should recognize that there's a lechi over there. So you usually have it sticking out a tiny bit into Rosh Hashanah. So let's say you did that. If you did that, and then again, you have another lechi within four tefachim of that, further back in the mavui, and another one within four tefachim of that, and so forth. So what? You still have it. So fine, from the inside of the mavui, it doesn't look like, if we say lavud, then we would consider it as if it was one long lechi that's four amas long. So it's not going to be noticeable from within the mavui that it's a lechi. But from the outside of the mavui, if you're walking by in Rosh Hashanah, you're still going to see it sticking out in the front of the mavui. So it's nira m'machot v'shavim v'fnim. So that should be good. So what's the problem? Why shouldn't we say for that reason alone it should be considered a valid lechi, and therefore you shouldn't need it, and therefore you shouldn't need another lechi? The answer is midi hu taima el Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, but the whole discussion that we're having over here is according to Rabbi Yochanan. The whole question is on Rabbi Yochanan that he's saying because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say lavud less than four tefachim, then he would say that you have one long lechi over here and then one very, very, very wide lechi, and therefore it would be possible. Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, haki also Raven Amr Rabbi Yochanan nidav machutz v'shabim ufnim einin nidin mishum lechi. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Yochanan holds that in that kind of case where it's only visible from the outside, but from the inside it's not visible as a separate lechi, it wouldn't count as a lechi. So there you go. Rabbi Yochanan is being consistent with his own shitta that even though in this case the outer lachi does stick out a little bit into Rishus Rabim, as it usually does, then still we would say that doesn't help us unless the lachi is also visible as a lachi from the inside. And according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's not, because according to him, all of those lachayim count as one very wide lachi, and it's too wide to be noticeable as a lachi from the inside. It just looks like part of the wall. Tosfos actually learns a little bit differently. The outer, the lechi is not, Tosfos learns, the lechi that faces towards Rosh Hashanah or towards Kaimelis is not usually sticking out a little bit into Rosh Hashanah, as Rashi says, rather it's sticking in a little bit. They don't put it flush with the wall, they put it slightly inward. Again, the idea is the same thing. When you're walking by in Rosh Hashanah, you're going to notice that there's a lechi over there. Okay, but anyway, but in this case, Rabbi Yochanan says that's not going to work unless it's also visible as a lechi from the inside. So in fact, we have a discussion about that. Itmar, nira b'mifneim v'shavim machutz. If the lechi is visible from the inside, but on the outside it just looks like part of the wall, it doesn't look like a distinct lechi, nidin mishum lechi, then it definitely counts as a lechi. There's a few different opinions. What configuration like that would be allowed? The diagrams in Rashi over here are not complete. I mean, you have further diagrams further down that illustrate various things, but some of those diagrams got a little bit messed up. So you have actually in Korban Nisano on the Rosh, you have better diagrams that illustrate. You have one way of we're talking about over here Nidav b'mifnim v'shavim machutz, where it's visible as a lechi from the inside but not the outside. So one way would be like this, where you have, it's thick on the inside. So when you're walking from the inside, you notice something sticking out of the wall, but from the outside, it doesn't. It just looks like a thick wall. Another way would be like this, where it curves, where it partially closes off the front side. Another one would be like this, where the wall is thicker towards the back and then narrows towards the front, where there also you have from the outside, you're walking by, you don't notice anything, but from the inside, you see that it goes in a little bit. So the machlokas poskim, which ones of those actually would be considered nidin b'fnim v'shavim lachutz. Anyway, so that's nidin b'shum lachi, such a thing counts as a lach. What about the other way? What about if it's only visible as a lechi from the outside, but not from the inside? So now you have a machlokas. Rab Chiya v'Rab Shimon v'Rabbi, chad ama nidin mishum lechi, v'chad ama einin nidin mishum lechi. So now Rab Chiya and Rab Shimon v'Rabbi argue whether that counts as a lechi or not. Again, when you're walking by in Rosh Hashanah Abim, you see something there that shows that it's a lechi, but when you're standing inside the mava, you don't see anything else. And here also you have a couple of different possible configurations. You have, for example, one way of it, for example, again, would be where the wall is thinner on one side than on the other. So you could have, for example, where it sticks out towards Rosh Hashanah. You can see when you're passing by in Rosh Hashanah, you can see that one part of it sticks out more than the other, but in from the inside, you wouldn't see that. You can also have a case where the wall turns a corner, like we talked about the other day in connection with the big chotzer and the small chotzer. We're going to talk about that later in the Gemara as well. So you have the mavri goes over here, and then the walls of it curve outward, the walls of it go outward and form side walls that face towards Rosh Hashanah. That would be another example of nidav b'fnim v'shavim lachutz. From the inside, you don't see anything, but from the outside, you see it sticking out. Patsimin, we called it. That was the other way around. That's where it went in. That's where it went inward. So there you're standing inside the mavri and you see it. That would be a case of nidav b'fnim v'shavim lachutz, because from the outside, you don't notice that the, you know, from the outside. Right. So you have machlokas over here, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Rabbi, whether that works. Okay, which one said which opinion? The Gemara says, Tistayim, the Rabbi Chiya Huda Amar Nidin Mishum Lachi. We can conclude that Rabbi Chiya is the one who said that it counts as a lachi, Detoni Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya taught a braisa, Koisel Shet Sidoi Echad Konus Mechaveri, a wall where one side of it is more, goes more in than the other side, meaning exactly what we're talking about. The beginning of the wall is thicker, and then the continuation of the wall as it goes towards Rosh Hashanah Abim is thinner. Whether the difference in thickness is visible from the outside but not the inside. In other words, so you have on the inside the wall just goes straight. On the outside you have it's thicker at the beginning and then at some point it goes in and continues thinner. So that would work. Or the other way around, where the inset in the wall is on the inside. So either way, Rav Chiya says, Nidin Mishum Lachi. Either way, it counts as a Lachi. So good, Tistayim. So that proves that's Rav Chiya holds, that it would be good either way. So obviously, Rav Shimon Rebbe must be the one who holds that if it's only visible to people standing outside the Mavoi and not inside, then it wouldn't count as a Lachi. So these pictures that we have in Rashi over here, the two at the top of Rashi, those are just illustrating the idea that usually you have the lechi sticking out a little bit towards Rosh Hashanah Abim, and here you don't. So here it just looks like the wall of the Mavri is a little bit thicker. So the first example would be the first example in Rashi would be nira b'machutz umimifnim. Both from the inside and the outside, it's visible as a lechi. The second example would be an example of nira b'mifnim b'shav b'machutz. If you look from the inside, you see a lechi over there. You see something next to the wall. If you look from the outside, it just looks like a thicker wall. You don't realize that there's a lachi over there. The other illustrations in Rashi are illustrating various cases of one or the other. So the first diagram in Rashi illustrates how, again, from the inside you can see there's something there. The door is partially closed off. From the outside, it just looks like a thick wall. The next one is the other way around. If you're standing inside the Mavui, you see that the wall is thick, and then further along as it goes towards the outside becomes thinner. That one there, yeah. And so now it's again nidum b'fnim b'shavim b'chutz. Yeah, that's the front, of course. Yeah. So you have so the back wall of the so the side wall of the Mavui starts out very thick, and then as you go further along towards the outside, it becomes narrower. So that's the thing. When you're standing in Rosh Hashanah Abim out here, you don't notice that there's a lechi over there. As far as you know, that's just the full thickness of the wall. But when you're standing inside, you notice that there's a difference. Then you can have the other way around. You can have where it's thick towards the inside and thinner, and then the thinness you see only on the outside. You have also again where it kind of turns a corner. You have the diagram in Rashi there that looks like a backwards tough. That's also near to Mechutz V'Shav V'Nim, because you don't see from the inside, you don't see anything over there. Only from the outside do you see a lechi there. Yeah. So again, Rav Chiya is saying that those work. Okay. So to Tistayim, so we can conclude that Rav Chiya is in fact the one who says that. Okay, the problem with that is Rabbi Yechanan Mile Shmieleha. Okay, didn't Rabbi Yechanan hear of this braisa? How could he be arguing with Rav Chiya? We can say that he heard of this braisa, but he disagreed with it. He disagreed with it, and Amora can't disagree with the braisa, but he holds the halacha is not like that braisa. The halacha instead is like Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe, let's say. Well, then fine. Rav Chiya nami lo savala. Rav Chiya also, we could say, taught a braisa, koisol shetzidei echad konus mechaveroi, but he doesn't agree with it. He doesn't, just because he has a braisa in his collection doesn't mean that he agrees with it. So who says that Rav Chiya is actually the one who says that he would hold that way? The Gemara says, hi, my, what kind of a comparison is that? B'shlemer Rav Yechanan lo savala. Rabbi Yechanan could say, I don't hold the halacha is like that braisa. The halacha instead would be like Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe. Mishum hochi leitoni la. So good, therefore, Rabbi Yechanan doesn't have that in his collection of braisas. El Rabbi Chiya, I isid le savala. But if Rabbi Chiya didn't hold that this din is valid, b'chlal, lomali lemisna, why would he b'chlal put it in his braisas? The whole point is, Rabbi Chiya is collecting braisas that he knows are very accurate. If he didn't hold the halacha is like it, he wouldn't have had it in his collection. Therefore, we can say, if he teaches a braisa to that effect, then it means he actually holds that way. And therefore, we can say that Rabbi Yochanan, meanwhile, knows of this price, but he says the halacha is not like it. Given that we have a machlokas of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Rebbe, then he would say, I'm entitled to follow Rabbi Shimon Rebbe. Okay, so we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with more discussion about this question about Nidum Machutz V'Shavim Mufnim. It's not really, no, it's a continuation of the topic, but we're starting a new conversation about that, and therefore I guess it makes better sense to stop over here rather than be in the middle of something. Okay.